As Mackenzie's coming, I'm going to go ahead and pray and as we get started. If y'all want to go ahead and bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us, Lord. Be with all of those who are out away from us as they travel. Lord, give them the rest that they need, Lord, and bring them back restored and ready and prepared for us to go out as a church and to do the things that you're calling us to do. Lord, be with us and prepare us to hear this message, God, and to see fit to go out and to share the gospel the way that you would have us to do, and to begin to grow and share and to do the things that you're calling us to do as a church. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to blame this morning on Alabama football. When Alabama loses, the universe is off. So we'll just have to work through that. Yesterday was a great day, though. Alabama did lose, so that was great. Tennessee won big. That was even better. I got to take my girls to their first ever Tennessee football game. I remember mine. It was Arkansas in 98. I got to watch the guy that they retired yesterday, his jersey yesterday. We got to watch him that day, six overtime win that day. It was a good day. A lot of good memories from that day. So if you got your Bible this morning, we're going to go to the book of 1 Samuel. We're going to be in chapter number 17 a lot today. One thing I never thought that I would ever do from the pulpit is quote Forrest Gump. So I'm going to do that today. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. You know, we laugh when Forrest Gump says that, but there's a lot of truth to that statement sometimes. Every day that you're going to get up, you're going to be filled with something new. Some days you're really going to like the day. It's going to be like those chocolates that you get that you're really going to like. And then other days, it's going to be like those chocolates you pick out and you just spit out as soon as you touch it. You just don't like it. You want to do over. You got to cleanse out your mouth and you just want to start over. In our life, there's going to be times like this. We're going to have times where there's going to be peace, where it feels like everything is good, everything just continues to fall in place, and life is good. But there's also going to be times in our life where we're going to have mountains to climb. And today we're going to see that we're going to have giants in our life to face as well. And with this in mind, we can be prepared with God's help to face the giants that we're going to have in our life. And that's kind of what sparked my thinking for this message. You know, in David's life, God prepared him for the moment that he was going to face Goliath. You know, David did not stand to face Goliath by himself or in his own power. Can y'all cut me down just a little bit up here? David didn't stand to face Goliath by himself or in his own power, and he knew that. God had been preparing David throughout his young life to this point to be able to build up an endurance in his faith. He knew to rely on God and that God was going to be faithful to him. And today, God wants to do the same thing with us, and we're going to look at that. He wants to build a relationship with us and prepare us for anything that we're going to face in life. So in reading this verse this morning, I want you all to kind of think of this thought as we're going through this today in the sermon. Think about your relationship with Christ if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, we really need to examine your own life and to know that you need Jesus and that he made a way for you to go to heaven with him one day. But if you are a Christian, how's your relationship with Christ if you're a Christian? Are you one who's built up a spiritual endurance in your life? Have you took those necessary steps of practice and putting prayer into effect to be able to have spiritual endurance for when life hits you and knocks you off your feet? You know, on your phone, there's an app, and it's called the Couch to 5K, and it helps you build up your running endurance. Now, if you can't tell, I'm not a runner, but they say that this is an app. But you can have this app, and it'll help you train every day. You'll do so much running each day, and after a period of time, you're going to have built up an endurance that you're going to be able to run a 5K without stopping. But in our walk with Christ, it can be the same way. He gives us the tools that we can build up a spiritual endurance. He gives us his word for one of them. He gives us the ability to pray. You know, as we've been going through our Sunday school lessons this past time, we've been in this book of 1 Samuel. And one thing that blows my mind most is the Old Testament people did not have a way that they could just pray to God whenever that they wanted to. They had judges that they had to go through to work out these things. And today, we have access to pray to God at any point in time, and he can listen to us. Even in those times where we feel like he's not listening, because we all are going to have those times. We're going to get frustrated that we feel like things aren't going our way and that God is not listening. But through all of that, he absolutely is. He never stops listening to us. And when Jesus came to die for us on the cross, he made a way for us to have a personal relationship with him, giving us access that when we do pray, he hears us. And he wants to help guide us through our lives and prepare us to face our own giants like David did back in the Bible. So let's start today. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to start our passage. There's a lot of verses this morning, so if you've got your Bible, I encourage you, but we have it up here as well. So we're going to go through the first three verses here in Samuel 17. So it says, "The Philistines gathered their forces in the war of Scooch in Judah and camped between Scooch and Azek in Ephes. Saul and the men of Israel gathered a camp of the valley of Elah, and they lined up in battle formations to face the Philistines. The Philistines were standing on one hill, and the Israelites were standing on another hill with a ravine between them." You know, I don't know if you're like me, but I love watching movies that have battles like this. You know, close combat where they've got shields and swords and they're coming at each other. One of the shows I watched, they had shield walls where they were advance into battle with each other to kind of gain ground with each other. They'd lock arms. And both sides, they wore so much armor that they couldn't move. And it was kind of like, I imagine, like my daughters, they would put on my old football helmet and pads and they couldn't move in it, but it was sure going to protect them if something happened. But we have, at this point in time, we have the men of Israel on one side of the valley, and on the other side, we have the Philistine army. And at this time, Saul was king of Israel, but he had lost his favor with God. In 1 Samuel 13, Saul made a very costly decision. Israel was in the middle of a battle, and he had been instructed to wait on Samuel to offer up an offering so that God would bless their battle. But the longer that Saul waited, the more impatient that he got. Samuel wasn't showing up exactly when Saul thought, and the battle was getting so thick that they were actually hiding out in bushes and different stuff, and the enemy was getting closer, and Saul was starting to have his army leave him. So Saul got impatient. We ever get impatient like that sometimes? We think the world's collapsing around us, and we got to do something on our own to get out of the situation. But all Saul could see was the enemy was getting closer and his men were starting to lose faith in victory. He thought that he had to do something. Saul was not looking past his own set of circumstances at that time. He wasn't looking out past what was happening. And in the moment of weakness, Saul presented an offering to God instead of waiting on Samuel to get there. And what happens as soon as Saul does this? Samuel walks up. They get very mad at each other. And at this point in time, God loses favor with him. Saul tried to take matters into his own hands and following the plan that God had made for the battle. And because of this, Saul would not be the lasting king of Israel. You know, this is why it's important that in the middle of hardships that we stay patient with God. I don't know about you all. Are you patient people? I'm not a patient person. I've never been that way. I'm not. But God's ways are always going to be better than our ways, even if we have to wait. But at this time, Saul and Israel were facing another battle. We're here at this point in the battle now. The Philistines were not going to try to get into a battle that they could lose. The Philistines, they had a weapon that they were going to use to fight their battle for them, and his name was Goliath. They were going to try to get out of this war with not losing anyone. And let's take a look and see what they did. Verses 4 through 10, what we're going to read. "Then the champion named Goliath from Gath came out from the Philistine camp, and he was 9 feet and 9 inches tall and wore a bronze helmet and a bronze scale armor that weighed 125 pounds. There was a bronze armor on his shin, and there was a bronze sword that slung between his shoulders. His spear and shaft were like a weaver's beam, and the iron point of his spear weighed 15 pounds. In addition, a shield bearer was walking in front of him. He stood and he shouted at the Israelites in battle formations, 'Why do you come out to line up in battle formation?' he asked them. 'Am I not the Philistine, and you are not the servants of Saul? Choose one of your men, and I'll have him come down against me. If he wins in the fight against me and kills me, we will be your servants. But if I win against him and kill him, then you will be our servants and serve us.' Then the Philistine said, 'I defy the ranks of Israel today. Send me a man who we can fight each other.'" You know, the Philistines had another plan here. They were not going to line up in a traditional battle and lose men. And they were going to challenge Israel to a 1-verse-1 combat where it was going to be like a winner took all. They were only going to have one person to do it. Now, granted, the Philistine's best warrior, he was pretty massive. You know, we went down to the ball game yesterday, and the girls were watching the Vol walk as they were coming by. Some of them boys, they're pretty big. And as big as they are, and seeing how big Georgia's defensive line is, I can only imagine how big this person had to have been. You know, by physical stature and confidence, Goliath and the Philistines believed that they were unstoppable. You know, at this point, so did Saul and Israel. Look what verse 11 says. When Saul and all Israel heard these words from the Philistines, they lost their courage and they were terrified. They were terrified at this point. They did not know how they were going to win this battle. Saul had already lost his favor with God, and at this point, he was not relying on God to take care of the battle for them. He was not looking at the bigger picture at this time. But even in Saul's defiance, God was still going to provide a way for his people. And that would come in the least likely of places. Even though Saul had messed up, just like we mess up on a regular basis, God was not going to turn his back on Israel. He never did. Even in those times, and they did it a lot, where they turned their backs on him and forgot about him and worshiped other gods and were taken captive, they lost their sight, but God never forgot them. And you know what? God does the same thing with us. Even in those times that we forget that he's in control, he will always be faithful, and he's going to make a way for us. You know, as humans, we mess up. I mess up a lot, or at least I do. You all may be more spiritual than me and not mess up. That's just between you and God. Sometimes we're going to take our eyes off what really matters and only see our circumstances that's in front of us. And they're waiting to lead us back in the right path to guide you and to give you strength is going to be Jesus waiting on you if you're a Christian. He's always going to be there and never leave you, even when you leave him at times. God was going to provide a champion for Israel in the least likely of ways, and that was going to be through David. We're going to see here, David was a young man at this time, and by no means should David have won against Goliath. We're going to see that Goliath made fun of him right before they got into battle, but this should not have been one where Israel came out victorious, but David knew who his God was and who was going to protect him, even when the rest of the army of Israel forgot. Let's look at the next set of verses. We're going to go 12 through 15. So it says, now David was the son of the Ephrathite. I practiced that last night with Ellie 4 or 5 times. You should have heard her say Ephrathite. Different every single time. And I said it different every single time. Ephrathite from Bethlehem of Judah named Jesse. Jesse had 8 sons and during Saul's reign was already an old man. Jesse's 3 oldest sons had followed Saul into war, and their names were Eliab, the firstborn, Abinadab, the next, and Shammah, the third. And David was the youngest. The 3 oldest had followed Saul. But David kept going back and forth from Saul to tend to his father's flock in Bethlehem. You know, here we meet David. He's the youngest son to Jesse. His 3 older brothers are in Saul's army, and they're out there fighting right now. And at this point, it makes reference that David is serving Saul, but he's also a shepherd to his father. You know, David, I'm sure he drew the short straw having to go out and to tend to his father's flock because he was the youngest. His dad was up in age. His 3 older brothers were away at war, but David stayed back with his dad to tend to the flock. But at the same time, David was a part of Saul's court at this point. And we're going to look at that and see what it is. If you'll turn back to 1 Samuel 16, we're going to read verses 14 through 19 and 21 and 22. We're going to see how God starts laying the groundwork for him at a very young age to get him in the right place for when David faces his giant, he's going to be prepared and he's going to be ready. So let's read 14 through 19 first. Now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and an evil spirit sent from the Lord began to torment him. So Saul's servants said to him, "You see that an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let the Lord command your servants here in your presence to look for someone who knows how to play the lyre. Whenever the evil spirit come from God troubles you, that person can play the lyre. And when you feel better, then Saul's command his servants, find me someone who plays well and bring him to me." One of the young men answered, "I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre. And he also is a valiant man, a warrior, eloquent, handsome, and the Lord is with him." Then Saul dispatched some messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." Verse 21 says, "When David came to Saul and entered his service, Saul admired him greatly, and David became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent word to Jesse, 'Let David remain in my servant's service, for I am pleased with him.'" You know, earlier we've seen Saul lost favor with God by doing what he was told not to do. He grew impatient. And you know, because of this, he had circumstances that happened as a result. There was an evil spirit tormenting him sent from God to do this. And you know, like a good spiritual person does, instead of Saul fixing his heart with God and trying to make things right, Saul just tries to mask the effects of his sin. And the way that he did that was having David play music for him when the evil spirit came. So when the evil spirit would come upon him, to make himself feel better, David would come and play music from him. You know, the effects of sin that we commit can follow us the remainder of our life. I'm so thankful that Jesus will forgive us of our sins, and he will bury them and look past them. But you know what? Sometimes when we mess up here, there's repercussions here. It's going to follow you. It's the bad part about that. It's sin. But the way that he did this was to have David play music for him. But it sounds like us sometimes. You know, we mess up and just want to go on like nothing ever happened. You ever do that? You mess up, somebody calls you out for it, you're just like, I just want to move on. Let's just forget about it. I know what I did. But if you're a Christian, you still know what you did was wrong. And it better bother you. And you know, if it does, that's the Holy Spirit keeping you accountable. You know, when we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. He's there to help, and he's there to guide you and to help you along your path and to help you make the right choices. But in order for Saul's spirit to make himself feel better, he was going to have David come and play with him, play for him. So this gave David a reason to go be at the battle where Goliath was demanding someone to fight for him. This gave him a reason because Saul needed him at times. It says that he was his shield bearer, he was his armor. He was there for him and he was working there for him. So let's look at how this unfolds. After we see this, let's look and see how this unfolds. Go back to 1 Samuel 17. We're going to read verses 20 and 23 through 26. So it said, "So David got up early in the morning, left the flock with someone to keep it, loaded up, and set out as Jesse had instructed him. He arrived at the perimeter of the camp as his army was marching out to battle formation, shouting in their battle cries." Skip down to verse 23. "While they were speaking with him, suddenly the champion named Goliath, the Philistine from Gath, came forward from the Philistine battle line and shouted his usual words, which David heard. When all the Israelite men saw Goliath, they retreated from him and were terrified. Previously, an Israelite man had declared, 'Do you see this man who is coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will make a man who kills him very rich and will give him his daughter. The king will also make a household of this man's father exempt from paying taxes in Israel.' And David spoke to the men who were standing with him, 'What will be done to the man that kills the Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Just who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?'" You know, David here knew where his strength come from. David knew that Goliath was no match for God because David knew exactly where his strength came from. I don't have the verse up here, but in chapter 16, David was anointed by Saul, and it says this in verse 13 of chapter 16, "The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on David from that day forward." You know what? David knew that God was with him. God came on him as an early age, anointed him, that he was going to be the next king over Israel because David had a heart like God. He was faithful to him. You know, David, by human standards, was anything but a king, though. He was the youngest of his family. He was not the biggest or strongest or best looking, but God makes unlikely choices to demonstrate that he's not bound to human power like we think that he is sometimes. God uses unlikely people so he himself will receive the glory that he's due. You know, God uses us imperfect people so that when things go right, people can look and say, that had to happen from God. This morning we were playing, that had to be God to help us get back on track because I have no clue what happened there. So that's what happens with God at times. You know, David knew that the Spirit of the Lord was with him, and with that, anything in David's life was going to be possible. God was setting David up to show the world how powerful that God was. David had a heart for God, unlike Saul. You know, when Saul messed up and him and Samuel started talking to each other, Saul would apologize, but he never would acknowledge that God was his God. When he was talking with Samuel, you can go back and read it, and he would say, "I'm sorry for what I've done. Now let's go back and worship your God." Saul really never had his eyes fully on God at this point in time. But he brought David to this moment to face Goliath, and he set everything in place so he could accomplish something big. You see, even when we think God is just spinning his wheels in our life, God's working for our good. You ever feel like that? That you're just thinking, I'm just waking up every day, it's like a groundhog day, same thing happens, and we're just spinning our wheels in life. You know, it's not like that. Even in those times where we think nothing's happening, God's laying foundations for us for something down the road. He may be teaching you something that day that you need to learn, and he's not just spinning his wheels. And we have to be patient at times to allow God to work through us. Sometimes it's going to take time. So let's see how God was going to work through David. We're going to read 1 Samuel 17, verses 33 through 37. So it says, "But Saul replied, 'You can't go to fight this Philistine. You're just a youth. And he's been a warrior since he was young.' David answered Saul, 'Your servant has been tending his father's sheep, and whenever a lion or a bear came and carried off the lamb from the flock, I went after it, struck it down, and rescued the lamb from its mouth. If it reared up against me, I would grab it by its fur, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed lions and bears. This uncircumcised Philistine will not be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God.' Then David said, 'The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine.' Saul said to David, 'Go, and may the Lord be with you.'" So in David's life, God prepared him to face Goliath. While David was a shepherd watching out over his sheep, both a bear and a lion came and took one of his sheep off. And each time this happened, David had enough courage to go after it and to kill it. You know, in our lives, in life, we're going to have moments that will prepare us to face adversity and giants that is going to be in our life, that's going to be in the future. Moments that are going to greatly test our faith, help us build endurance. But also in these moments that we're going to have, we're going to have an opportunity to grow closer to God, and he's going to strengthen your faith in the process. So I put this picture up here. And when you look at this path, the only way to get from where you're at right now to the other side without getting wet, that is to walk along these stones. Now, everyone's legs, though, are going to be different size. So to a kid, that may seem like it's pretty far apart. But to us, you know, it may seem like it's easier. But the only way to get from this side to that without falling in the water is to go follow the path. You know, in my mind, this is how I imagine our lives. When we come to know Jesus, we start down the path that he has for our lives. We learn with each step that we have to depend on Jesus, because if we take our eyes off of him, we're going to fall. If you take your eyes off of that and not look down, you're basically going to fall. Even if you think that you can see how far that you need to step, you're going to fall. And when we start to walk with God, we start to build spiritual endurance. And when trials face us, we know to stay close to God, because he's going to direct our path and help us to get to the other side. And the Bible tells us a great example of how we're supposed to look at trials and how we're supposed to react when these things come, and that's in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. We're going to look at that. This is what the Bible says in James. It says, "Consider it a great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But endurance must do its complete work, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing." You know, James here says to consider it a great joy when we experience adversity and trials and hardships in our life. So I got a question for you. How often in the middle of a trial do we count it a joy? Things are going wrong, and it's just one wave after another. Do you consider that a joy? James said too, you know, during the middle of when times are bad, all we seem to think about are our current set of circumstances. It's what Saul did when he was in battle and he messed up and he presented the offering like he wasn't supposed to. Same thing that happens with us when things are bad. We can only look at what's right in front of us. And you know, at that point, most times, the bad seems to outweigh the good, and we think it's never going to end. I know for me, when something's going wrong, I never think I'm going to get out of it. I think it's just going to keep going. But you know what? There is a light at the end. But what we forget to realize is if we think rationally during hard times, hard to think rationally during hard times, we would start to really understand verses 3 and 4. When our faith is tested, we start to focus more on Jesus and less on our current circumstances. And our faith begins to strengthen, begins to give us that endurance that we get by following close with God. In the hard times, we grow closer and more dependent on God. And I fully believe that's why things happen, apart from sin, because sin messed everything up coming into the world when Adam and Eve sinned. It changed the whole course of everything, and that's why we have the sickness and everything bad. But in this time, when things go wrong, those are opportunities that we can grow closer with God. Learn that He's there looking out after us, and He's going to protect us, and we need to make sure that we are following Him. We face many challenges or adversity in our lives, and we need to remember that our strength doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from God. Now, I love that the Bible, you know, it gives us a lot of examples of this. You know, you think about Abraham. You know, when he took Isaac up onto the mountain to sacrifice him, he didn't know why God was testing him. But Abraham was faithful and he followed suit. And we know the story goes, when he got up on top of the mountain, he went to kill his son like God had asked, told him to stop, and he provided a sacrifice for him. You know, Moses, God asked him to go back home to Egypt and to tell Pharaoh to let God's people go. It was not going to be an easy task for him. He made a bunch of excuses, but God was with him every step of the way. He never left him. David, today, we're going to see that God was with David when he faced Goliath. David was not the biggest or the strongest, but God was going to use this boy in a mighty way. And David knew exactly where his strength and his courage was coming from. God was going to be faithful, and he was going to be with him every step of the way. And today, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the same strength and courage that David had is also yours as well. And God's always going to be faithful to him. You just have to make sure that your eyes are looking on God instead of the bigger opportunity that's in front of you at that time. David was now ready for the battle, but Saul thought that David needed something else. Let's look at the next set of verses, verses 38 through 40. Then Saul had his own military clothes put on David, and he put a bronze helmet on David's head and had put on armor. David strapped the sword on over the military clothes and tried to walk, but he was not used to them. And he says, "I can't walk in these," David said to Saul. "I'm not used to them." So David took them off. Instead, he took his staff in his hand and he chose 5 smooth stones from the wandi and put them in the pouch in the shepherd's bag. And then with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. So, you know, I would have loved to have seen this happen. You know, Saul puts his armor, and Saul is probably this big, tall person, and David is this smaller person. He puts his armor on him. I said it earlier. I look at this and I think about Emory or Elliot putting on my old football helmet and trying to go out and play football. It's just not going to happen for them because they can't move in that stuff. And you know, David was still young, and of course Saul's armor wasn't going to fit. So David took with him to battle what he was comfortable with, what he knew was going to work. You know, David at this point in time had already killed a bear and a lion. So in his mind, he's thinking, "God help me with that. He's surely going to help me with this." So we've seen that David took his staff, he was going to take a sling, and he was going to take 5 stones with him. And he knew with God's help that he was going to be able to take down this 9-foot, 9-inch giant that stood in his path. You know, when adversity hits in our life and we're tested, we need to have this kind of faith and confidence in God to provide for us like David was going to do this. This was a huge opportunity for David to show the world what God could do. And the good thing about this is David was faithful and allowed God to use him. Even when what the path in front of him didn't look easy, God was going to use him. Same thing with you. When God has a calling on your life or he's put you in a job that you're in, he's got you there for a specific purpose and a plan. It could be to reach someone there. And in your ministry with God, he's got you there to show other people about Jesus. And the thing that we need to be like David, we need to be willing. We need to have the courage and the boldness to go out and to do what God has asked us to do. To look the giant head on in our lives and to know that we can do this. So look with me at verses 45 through 51. So it said, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a dagger, spear, and sword, but I come against you in the name of Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel's armies. You have defied him. Today the Lord will hand over to me. Today I will strike you down and cut off your head and give your corpse to the Philistine camp, to the birds of the sky, and to the creatures of all the earth. Then all the world will know that Israel has a God. And this whole assembly will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will hand you over to us." When the Philistines started quickly to attack him, David ran quickly to the line of battle to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in the bag and took out a stone, slung it, and hit the Philistine on his forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on the face to the ground. David defeated the Philistine with a sling and a stone, even though David had no sword. He struck down the Philistine and he killed him. David ran and stood over him, and he grabbed the Philistine's sword. He pulled it from his sheath and he used it to kill him. Then he cut off his head, and the Philistines saw that there was no hero, and their hero was dead, and they ran. So what gets me most about this time that's happening, you know, David and Goliath are running full speed at each other. It's like neither one of them flinched. Goliath had the courage that he knew this was a smaller person that he could just take out with one swing. But at the same time, David knew that he was going to win this. And the courage that David possessed is really what stands out to me. By all earthly standards, David should have lost. Goliath should have killed him. And you know what? In verse 44, Goliath says that he was going to give David's flesh to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts. You know, in Goliath's mind and the Philistine army's mind, they had this in the bag and they were going to win. And it was like the deck was stacked against Israel. But David had enough faith in God that he knew God was going to be the one to fight this battle for him. David changed his mentality, and I think this is what we need to do today as well, is we have to start changing our mentality. As Christians, we need to do this. When giants come up in our lives, instead of feeling sorry for ourselves, like we do a lot, and we look at our current set of circumstances, we should do what James says and count it a joy. It's in these moments that we grow closer to God. We have these stepping stones, like that picture said. It's those moments in time that's going to strengthen your faith for when you take the next step, you know God is going to be there with you and he's going to help provide for you. We learn to depend on God with every step and every breath that we take. This is why it is so important to read your Bible every day, to pray often, and to make our lives revolve around Jesus, and not just be a time where we fit Jesus into our busy life, but one where we really live for him. If you're a Christian, you're going to want to do that. With everything that you have in you, you should want to do it for Jesus and to give him the glory. You know, David, at this moment in time, he was ready. David was prepared for this battle. He knew of God's faithfulness. God had been good to him up until this point. He knew God was still going to be faithful to him. God protected him from the bear and from the lion, and he knew that Goliath was not going to be any match for God. And he used those stepping stones in his faith to allow him to learn to fully depend on God for guidance in every step and aspect in his life. And with practice comes endurance. My coaches used to tell me that all the time. The reason we had to run in 2-a-days was because we were going to have games that we were going to play, that we had to be ready for that. And if we didn't practice like we were going to play, it was going to be awful. It's the same way in our lives. We have to make sure that while we're practicing, while we're reading our Bible, we're learning more, while we're praying and getting closer to depend on God, that's all the tools that he's setting us up with to be successful for him in the future, to help us get out of whatever we're facing in our life. You know, the Bible says that not everyone who says, though, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. That hits me hard sometimes. You know, if you're not fully bought into Christ and want to let him direct your path, that prayer might have not been good for you if you did not fully turn your life over to God. When you pray the prayer at salvation and truly ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, in that moment, you'll have a new look on life. and you will experience a peace like you've never felt in your whole life. You know, some people, I laugh at this, but some people like to try to explain God and Jesus like genie off of Aladdin. He's not someone that you're just going to be able to rub a lamp when things get hard and pull the Bible off of the shelf and see what you can do to get his help. All your problems aren't magically going to go away if you become a Christian. But the amazing thing about salvation is the moment that you truly surrender your life over to Jesus, you don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to Jesus, and he is going to help you through everything that you face in life. So you know what? In the battle, David and Goliath ran full speed at each other. David takes the stone out of his bag, and he slings it at Goliath, hits him in his forehead, knocking him out. Goliath falls forward, and then Goliath hits the ground, and David runs up, does not have his own sword, pulls it off Goliath. You can only imagine how big Goliath's sword would have been, and he cuts off Goliath's head. You know, this is one of those instances to David when he cuts off Goliath's head. He knows that Israel is in charge. He knows that God is going to be with him and God helped him through this. So you know what? In closing today, I want you to think about what I asked earlier. Are you someone who's actively working on your relationship with God? One where you're trying to get closer to him, because it's in times of peace in your life when you build up that endurance, where you get those stepping stones to learn to depend fully on God, and you grow close in your relationship. If you're in here and you're in a relationship with anyone, you know that in order for that relationship to be successful, you have to spend time with that person and you have to communicate very well. I don't do a good job at communicating sometimes. I know it drives Melissa nuts, but if you're going to have a good relationship, you have to be open to communication, and that's what we need to do with our walk with God. We have to be open with him, we have to be honest, and we have to know that he is going to be the one that's going to guide us through life. So when the giants in your life come up, you're going to have the endurance to face whatever you're doing head on. You're going to be like David, and you're not just going to sit back and let the giant come to you. You're going to run full speed at it, knowing that God has already won what you're going through. David knew that God was going to protect him when he faced Goliath. And today you may be someone that you're going through something rough and you think that God is just spinning his wheels with you and he's not listening. And I assure you, if you're patient and you learn to rely on him and you wait for what he has for you, his ways are going to be better than anything you can imagine. He's going to give you the same courage that he gave David. He's going to give you the same boldness to know that you can walk into any situation with God's help, and he's going to help you get through it and protect you. So I'm going to have the group come back up, and we're going to do a song of invitation. If you're one this morning that you need to come and you need to pray, the altar will be open. If you need to talk to someone, we'll have someone here that you can speak with. But this morning, examine your own life. Think, am I fully relying on God? And are you building up that endurance, that spiritual endurance in your life? Are you walking close to Jesus? And if you're not, why? Because he's not moved. It's been you. So if you all will please stand with us, we're going to sing.